Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, Mark 10:21. Now, I don't think Jesus was saying, because you do these things, you get saved. In fact, he's saying, you do these things and your treasure is going to be in heaven. He's referencing the fact that being fully sold out to me is one thing you lack. In his case, it was, I'm not going to give up what I possess. And I think this is a real issue in America today. It's the stuff that we hang on to. I was for a walk this morning. We walked 2 miles, and I was coming back, and there was a guy about halfway on my walk who had his garage door open. He was standing down his garage, and his garage was absolutely jammed from one end to the other. It looked just like mine.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Today, Randy continues his teaching, The Power of One Thing When God Is in It. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right, thank you much, Kurt, and welcome here live to our Intentional Living studio. I'll continue that story here in just a moment. You know, when we think about the number one is sort of a lonely number, isn't it, when you think about it? God said in the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone, just one, and he created woman. And yet when it comes to living our lives, when we get very intentional and focused and understand when we get focused on the power of one thing, when God is in it, amazing things can happen in your life, in your relationships, in all areas when you get focused and stay focused on the power of one thing. It's a book that I wrote and a topic I'm sharing with you now as we move into day three of this 5-day series on this topic of one thing when God is in it. I'd love to hear your story. How has one thing, focusing on one thing, or maybe the thousands who have or are wearing the one thing wristband from our conferences and so on, to call and tell me, how did focusing on one thing make a difference in your life? Tell your story. 888-888-1717, and number 2 takes you to our story line. Right now, I'm going to take you to our teaching studio as we continue this series on the power of one thing. I looked up on Forbes.com, and they have a list of 35 questions that will change your life. And here's a couple of them. Here's a few of them. Number 1 was, if you achieved all of your life goals, how would you feel? Now, that would take some time to talk about, wouldn't it? Because you and I probably know people who've spent their life accomplishing their goal, and they got there, and they weren't all that happy with it. At least I have. I've talked to many successful people who are miserable. Here's another question they said. If you weren't scared, what would you do? Interesting question. Why don't you do things you know you should be doing? Here's another one of their 35 questions. What's the most important thing to get done today? It's kind of the power of one thing, isn't it? What do you want your life to be in 5 years? These are all really interesting questions, and if we had a group session, we could throw these out and talk about them, and they'd be interesting. But when David had a chance to ask one thing, what did he ask? He didn't ask about those things. He didn't ask about all the other things that are extraneous in life, important in life, valuable in life, certainly worth asking. They're not bad questions. They're certainly worthwhile questions. But when David could ask one question, the question was, one thing I ask of the Lord, one thing that I'll seek, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's the question for you. And for me today, what is one thing that you would ask from the Lord? Maybe you do in prayer. What is the one thing you ask? What do I ask for? Let's face it, most often we ask for things that help us and support us and make us feel better. And God, as our Father, enjoys hearing our prayer. Undoubtedly, he enjoys that. But to be able to really ask the question of, Lord, allow me to dwell with you all the days of my life. There's a question to ask. Lord, help me to do that. How can I do that? So there's snapshot number 1. Let's go to another snapshot. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, again, turn to Mark, the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. And you know the stories. By the way, these are not stories you haven't heard. This is the story of the rich young ruler. And this guy comes to Jesus and really is asking the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And of course, Jesus knows all, sees all, understands all, right? So he looked right into his heart. And he says to this guy, You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have observed in my life. And then Jesus, as only Jesus can, he looked at him, he felt love for him, and he said to him, one thing you lack. One thing that you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Mark 10:21. Now, I don't think Jesus was saying, because you do these things, you get saved. In fact, he's saying, you do these things and your treasure is going to be in heaven. He's referencing the fact that what keeping you from being fully sold out to me is one thing you lack. In his case, it was, I'm not going to give up what I possess. And I think this is a real issue in America today. It's the stuff that we hang on to. I was for a walk this morning. We walked 2 miles and I was coming back and there was a guy about halfway on my walk who had his garage door open. He was standing down his garage. And his garage was absolutely jammed from one end to the other. It looked just like mine. And I thought, how could he have, look at that. What does he do with that box on top of box on top of box on top of box? And I said, well, it's probably the same thing I do with the stuff in my garage on top of one thing on top of another thing. So I looked at some stats, and the average American has 300,000 items in our home. I thought, that's impossible. Then I thought about open the desk, open your drawers, and start taking all the items out, dump them out on the, take everything out of the garage or the stuff out of your closets and under the bed and other hiding places that you find. 300,000 items in the average American home. The size of homes in America has tripled in the last 50 years. 10% of families, 1 out of 10, we have to have off-site storage. Have you seen these storage locker businesses are exploding? It's one of the greatest things to invest in because we all have to have lockers to take the stuff we can't get in our garages or our basements or our storage rooms. So we have to go get a storage locker to put it in there. 25% of people with 2-stall car garages cannot park their car in a garage.
Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to continue The Power of One Thing When God Is In It.
What one thing would you like to ask God to help you accomplish in 1 year from now that would make your life better as a single person?
I need help with organization and declutter, and I know that the Lord can help me with that, so I'm going to pray about that.
To become more free of debt, I don't know that I'd be able to have it all completely gone in 1 year, but my goal would be to have one credit card paid off so that I'd be able to engage the snowball effect, where I put that payment down on other debt.
What I am asking him right now to help me accomplish is to formulate my own personal mission statement and my own personal goals, because I believe that will impact where I am a year from now if I could get those established.
I'm Amy Phillips with Intentional Living.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Let's face it, when you have a child who knows how to press your buttons, kindness may be one of the last things on your mind. And that's why we'd like to send you The Fruit of the Spirit, a 30-day guide to fruitful parenting. For the month of June, when you give a gift of $100 or more, or any amount the Lord lays on your heart, you'll get this study guide as our thanks, and you'll learn that kindness will play a vital role in raising your kids. So call now, 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4. That's 1-888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. Or go to theintentionallife.com. Thanks.
For those of us who like to read, we have a ton of great reads on our website. From ebooks to devotionals, from intentionals to blogs, they're all there to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. So whether you're looking for help on your finances, marriage, or parenting, it's all there waiting for you 24/7. Go to theintentionallife.com. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy's teaching.
So I looked at some stats, and the average American has 300,000 items in our home. The size of homes in America has tripled in the last 50 years. 10% of families, 1 out of 10, we have to have off-site storage. 25% of people with 2-stall car garages cannot park their car in a garage. The average 10-year-old in America owns 238 toys. And the research shows they use 12. They play with 12. They got 238. In America, we spend more on shoes, jewelry, watches than we do on higher education. I don't know who does this research. People go out and do this for a living. But somebody discovered that in an average American's lifetime, we spend 153 days of our life looking for things that we've lost. Some of us more than that. Where are my glasses, my hat, you know, keys, whatever. And I think the point is for us as Americans is we can get so caught up in distractions in our life, the things that keep us from really being sold out to God's intention for our life. I find from the story of this young man, this question, what would Jesus say is one thing you lack and I lack? Not for salvation. I mean, God loves us. You wonder if God sits in heaven sometimes and looks down and says, you guys are so silly. I mean, you're collecting stuff and you're doing things. This guy, he lacked the trust in God because he wanted to keep all of his wealth. And for someone else, it might be the stuff that we hang on to. It might be anger or it might be resentment, whatever. What is it that we lack? That's a really interesting question. You want to spend some time in personal reflection. Ask the question, what is it you lack that keeps you from being totally sold out intentionally? Because Jesus says there's one thing, young man, you lack. It's part of one thing, isn't it? There's one thing that you lack. He brings it right home. Not a dozen things. Let's bring it right on home. Here's the one thing, young man, you lack. And of course, the rich young ruler faded away into the crowd because he wasn't going to give up that one thing to be totally sold out. Well, let's see another snapshot over in Luke chapter 10. And you know this story too. The backstory is Mary and Martha, the two sisters, their brother Lazarus. Jesus was at their home. They were good friends. Lived just up over the hill from Jerusalem, just up over the hill from the Mount of Olives, not far from where Jesus would enter. If you know the story, he comes to their home at not long before he enters into Jerusalem. But here he's at their home, and Mary's at his feet, worshiping him, wanting to hear what he has to say, being close to her Savior, being close to God incarnate here. And Martha's very busy doing the household chores, the things that have to get done. And the sister comes and says, Jesus, how come you're not telling my sister to come and help me so I can get things done that need to get done? Which is legitimate. I mean, you have a party at your house. Somebody's got to take care of it, right? When someone comes to our house, Donna's got to take care of it, or Donna takes care of it. Somebody's got to take care of it. Someone's got to make sure these things are getting done. So Martha's question was not ridiculous. Jesus, why don't you send my sister out to help me so we can both get it done so we can come back? And so that's the backstory. And of course, we know what Jesus says. The Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha. And it's interesting, Martha, Martha. We all say, I have to say, Martha, Martha, you know what story we're talking about. Martha, Martha. And we know that's just to reinforce the point. Like with your kids, you ever said, you know, Billy, Billy, you know, or George, and George. And you say it twice, there's more emphasis on it, right? So Jesus is looking at Martha and saying, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? What's the one thing that's necessary? Businessinsider.com went out and interviewed wealthy Americans. These were people who had to have at least $3 million in investable assets to put into investments and stocks, bonds, and property, and so on. And they asked the question, what are your top priorities? What is your one thing? What are the things you find necessary in life? And I find the three things that they said interesting because they're the same three things every one of us would say. I don't think it's really tied so much to the wealth because we get back to what the needs are as human beings. And number one was health. You know, we have good health. You can kind of face challenges and other things in life. You lose your health, you've lost a lot. So number one was health. Number two was their family. They found that to be important and necessary, and that would be true no matter what socioeconomic level you're on, which side of the tracks you live on, where you're coming from. Family was number two, and number three interesting for these folks.
Yeah, we'll pick up right from there and continue as we move into day four next time from the Intentional Living Center. What's been your experience about living intentionally and the power of one thing? Tell us. 888-888-1717. Press 2 for our storyline. A couple of things very important I'd like to share. One is, as a ministry here in the month of June, mid-year, summertime, and I want to share with you because I consider you a friend, and together we are attempting to live our lives intentionally for Christ, just to be very transparent that we have an urgent need here at the ministry to help eliminate the donation shortfall that we've been experiencing over the last few months. And we need to catch up. We don't borrow money and we won't. We just use what comes in to honor Christ. And your gift right now would be so appreciated. In fact, your gift of $100 or more right now to the Intentional Living Center will help us meet this urgent need. And to say thanks for your much-needed gift of $100 or whatever amount that God lays on your heart, we're going to make sure to send you the Fruit of the Spirit, a 30-day guide to fruitful parenting. It's a brand-new small book that we have that will be encouraging to you. You can give today at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. And also, a reminder, this month, we have an early bird discount for our fall conferences of intentional living for the marriage conference date nights for Michigan, New Mexico, and Arizona. It's running right now. Check it out at theintentionallife.com. Stick around because I'm going to be talking with a young lady named Taylor, who I think has some pretty cool things to share about what God is doing in her life.
In January of 2012, I was in a very, very bad motor vehicle accident.
In the wake of that motor vehicle accident, she began to abuse medication.
Greg and Leah's intentional one thing saved her life and their marriage. They simply decided to ask others for help.
Greg grew angrier while I grew sicker. When he kicked me out, I was completely hopeless.
My heart had just grown so hard and so callous towards her that it didn't concern me that she had nowhere to go.
I am in a 12-step program. My sponsor actually took me in, and I lived with my sponsor, and she believed in me.
We had a godly couple that counseled us through this who were able to talk some sense into me and say, you really need to look at what's going on. She is growing spiritually with leaps and bounds.
It took a lot of work on our part, but the Holy Spirit guided us and helped us.
One thing you can do when hope seems lost is ask others to help instead of trying to go it alone. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to begin living intentionally in Christ. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
Thanks, Kurt. Okay, we've got Taylor on the line in Arizona. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. How are you dealing with finances?
Well, it's kind of, I was mentioning to whoever I talked to, I think it was Steven, that it's more of a trust thing that I've learned to do with finances.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of a new Christian as of the summer of my freshman year of college. This year's my senior year, so it's
you.
Just under 3 years for me. And I did a 90-day challenge through my church up in Flagstaff where I go to college. And it was a really cool experience because it was basically just teaching us how to really trust God with our finances. And not just tithing, but doing things for good and giving to others when you know you're not sure how you're going to do, and just giving that all to God. And after the challenge ended, it was a really great way to realize that God really does provide for me. So since then, I've just made it a habit to start, you know, obeying that command of tithing and doing that every time I get a paycheck, even when I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to be okay, because I know that God will provide for me. So
that's
it's
great.
Kind of simple, but it's new.
Well, good for you, Taylor. Now, you're graduating from Flagstaff, so you're going to NAU,
mm-hmm.
Northern Arizona University. And what are you graduating in? What's your degree?
I'm graduating in early childhood and elementary education and a math minor, so I'm going to have a fifth year up there next year. But I'm actually really excited because I'll be able to be in this leadership position with my church group up there called Chi Alpha. And if any of them are listening, then that's kind of cool. But yeah, I'm very excited because I've kind of grown a lot in my faith since I started, and I'm really excited to see what God does in that year for me before I graduate. So
that's fantastic. What got you started spiritually? I mean, what led you to coming to Christ?
I mean, it is kind of a long story, but the gist of it was just the fact that, and I apologize, my voice is gone. I'm kind of sick. I don't normally sound like this. But basically, I had an experience at the end of my high school time where I really did feel like I felt God's presence. It was like really random. I always grew up agnostic and didn't really believe in a specific God, and no one in my family goes to church and everything. And then over time, after that experience initially happened, I kind of forgot about it and then went back to my usual ways. And after about a year of, well, not even a year, about 7 months of a very bad relationship, I kind of got into this really broken place where God could come in and heal me. And that's where I really discovered that it was real. Like, all this stuff that I kept hearing about Jesus and everything like that was actually a legitimate thing. And the cool part about my testimony, and I'm sorry, I'll try to be quick, is that I really was, like, concerned about believing in Jesus. Like, I believed in God, but I couldn't get the Jesus part. And so I was, like, writing in this journal, trying to, like, use that as a prayer mechanism at the time, because I was felt awkward about praying. You know, if you don't grow up in that, it's kind of weird. And I was asking God if he could show me, like, a sign or something, you know, to really just prove to me that Jesus was the real deal within that week. And legitimately, like, within that week, I was at Arby's working a shift, and this lady came in to order her sandwich and handed me something that said, "In Search of Truth," and it was this perfect sign from God, like, representation of, like, the reason why Jesus exists. And it was, like, this little story about someone who was kind of in the same boat that I was, so it was really cool.
That's great. Hey, listen, I feel more hopeful for America when I hear a story like yours, Taylor. May God bless you in this senior year at NAU, and may you get your health back real soon here. Feel better. God bless you. Have a great year. Thanks for listening, too. Maxine, thank you for your call. We only have about a minute to go, but tell me, how are you dealing with finance?
Well, I just want to tell you thank you, first of all, for your program. And I also, years ago, listened to you at New Year's, right at New Year's, and you were talking about finances, and I had just retired. And, you know, your one intention focus was so good. You said, you know, that one intention. So I did my checkbook that month. I looked at the balance, and I said, okay, I want to have so much more in my checking account by next month. You know, I just didn't. So I went out, and I really focused on what you said, that one intention, not spending money, you know, frivolously and this and that. And the next month I did my checkbook, and I had $50 in it more. And I thought, okay, that was pretty good. And I'm going to do this for the next month and the next month. And, you know, it was that one intention focus you talk about. It really just kept me focused. And to this day, you know, I don't have that worry anymore about money, because for some reason when we focus and have a good intention, and you were saying about if you earn less, what was it now, if you burn less?
Yeah, if on the food side, if you eat less and you burn in a day and you spend less and you earn in a day, you're going to lose weight and you're also going to get out of debt.
Yeah, and I did the spending list, but you said to add a third one, and I, as you were talking, and yeah, I thought, you know, my thing would be, and if you apply what you learn, you'll have good success.
Absolutely.
Because what I learned from you was to apply that, you know, that focus, that intention. And that's what basically, and I've done this for over 14 years now, and it's amazing how that money just shows up. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank you for that. And it's amazing today, because I've been wanting to say, I've been doing some reflection of the past year, the new year, and I thought one day, boy, if I ever get to talk to Dr. Randy Carlson, I'm going to thank him for that focus intention that he so stresses. You are a great teacher. And I also want to say this, hearing that wonderful, that girl's wonderful testimony previous to me,
yeah,
I just want people to know God's peace, and God bless everyone with peace.
Thank you, Maxine. Very good. Pray for Taylor, too, this young young gal graduating here, taking a fifth year, it sounds like, in getting ready to serve and use her life. And, boy, we're better off when we have young people growing up and really experiencing God's intentional love for them. Hey, this has been fun today. If nothing else, I hope I got you thinking that maybe it's time to spend less than you earn in a day and do that over an extended period of time. And out of obedience, you know, to give, out of obedience, to start saving, preparing for the future, and you can do it. with God's help. And what a testimony when you can say, hey, when someone says, hey, you seem to have some freedom financially, how'd you do that? Because I was intentional in what God has given me, intentional because of his love. That's what we're doing here today. If you got a story to share, you can call our comment line at 888-888-1717, or just go to theintentionallife.com.
Okay, veteran parents, what is one thing you would say to a brand new parent who's just starting their family?
Cherish the time that you have with these little ones. They grow up so fast, and you'll look back when they're in their teens or even in their 20s and go, wow, I remember the first time I held her. You know, and it is amazingly precious, and God can teach you some amazing lessons.
Treasure every moment, because though the days get long and hard, they will pass very quickly, and then your babies will be having babies of their own.
Enjoy your children, because they grow up very quickly.
Take every day, one day at a time. From the time they're born to the time they're 18 years old is going to fly by. So take every day, enjoy every moment, love on those kids, and be the best parent you can be.
One thing that I've learned is one constant in life is change. Be prepared for change.
Yeah, that's true. I think if you're right in the midst of it right now with the kids, you're overwhelmed. You think it's a grandparent conspiracy for us to say, enjoy every moment, enjoy every, let me see, every minute, every moment, and every day. Those were the three themes that came through because that's true. And someday you will look back and know that. Now, when you're in the midst of it, God bless you. That's why as grandparents, coming alongside and encouraging our children and grandchildren in the process. Hey, a couple things really important to remind you that right now here at the Intentional Living Center, we're praying, we're planning, we are urgent in sharing this very immediate need to help eliminate the donation shortfall that we've experienced over the last few months. And I'm asking you to pray about and then respond intentionally to share a gift, if you could, of $100 or more. Can't do that, but whatever God lays on your heart, every dollar is going to go right back into the ministry. And we're going to say thanks today when you do by sending you a new parenting resource called The Fruit of the Spirit, a 30-day guide to fruitful parenting. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, okay? Or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. Secondly, just a reminder, in Topeka on June 16th, just a few days away, Mark Schultz and myself, a night of music and ministry in Topeka. Coming up Friday, June 16th, get your tickets today at theintentionallife.com. We want to see you there. We'll be back tomorrow with more intentional living.